Luke 9, starting in verse 49. John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you." And then moving on, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. Well, today is Valentine's Day, of course, so it's appropriate that we would talk about love. As you can imagine, love shows up in the Bible quite a bit. I had to look it up. 550 times in the Bible, God talks about love, right? We're commanded to love God. We're commanded to love one another. And today in our study of the 12 apostles, we're going to look at the apostle John, who is the apostle of love. Now, John's a common name, just like it is here. We have a couple Johns in our church. There's 10 kind of well-known Johns in the Old Testament, including David and Jonathan, he went by. There's 5 Johns in the New Testament. John the Baptist, the father of Andrew and Simon Peter, son of John. John Mark, he usually goes by Mark. There was a member of the Jewish council in the book of Acts. And then, of course, our guy, the Apostle John. He writes the Gospel of John, but interesting, he never names himself in the Gospel. Well, he does, but it's by a different term, the disciple whom Jesus loves. The John in the Gospel of John is John the Baptist. But you never have to call him John the Baptist because the other John is writing about him. Well, anyway, next to Peter, John's name appears more than any other apostle, some 50 times. And we know a bit about John, don't we? He wrote 5 books in the New Testament, right? The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So John shows up quite a bit. James and John, always in that order, are brothers. James is older, John is younger. And Jesus calls these two brothers sons of thunder. How about that for a nickname? They're kind of hot-blooded. They're thunderous. They're zealous. Well, how does a son of thunder get transformed into an apostle of love? Now, that may describe you, it may not, but we would, if we were honest with each other, we would all admit that, yes, each one of us needs to be more loving, right? We can learn to be more loving spouse, a more loving parent or child, a loving neighbor, a loving friend, a loving citizen. We could be more loving. So here's what we want to do today, is just look at this apostle of love as he walks with Jesus. So let's start out. He is a son of thunder. He's not named that in the passage that we read. That's in Mark. And this is Jesus' nickname for them. But why would he call him that? Well, let's see. Let's see John in action. First, he's a bit self-centered. He says, "Hey, we saw this guy." We is plural. Don't know who the other we is. Maybe it's his brother, James. "But we saw him doing something, and we stopped him. He was ministering in the name of Jesus, but he wasn't part of our group." I can imagine, John, "Hey, how dare you use my master's name? By what right do you do this sort of thing? You have no authorization to do this. And I mean, I'm one of the inner circle, one of three key people, and I don't know you. You're just not part of our group. Well, he's reporting this to Jesus, and he's sort of expecting Jesus to, I don't know, attaboy, John. But that's not what he says. Jesus says, wait a minute. Don't stop him, for the one who's not against you is for you. Jesus sees through John's self-centeredness and maybe even jealousy, I don't know. Now, let's be clear. John's very committed to truth. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not enough to just stop there, is it? Zeal for truth has to be balanced with love for people. Here's what one pastor, author wrote. Truth without love has no decency. It's just brutality. On the other hand, love without truth has no character. It's just hypocrisy. You need both truth and love. And so maybe John saw this ministry of just exclusive to his group. Now, it's true we can't support those who deny Jesus and the fundamentals of the faith. But within the limits of God's word, there needs to be some tolerance and acceptance. I love being a free church pastor and being part of the free church denomination, but it's dangerous to think that the free church is the only true church in the whole world. Let's not think that way. Well, John was a little bit like that. Okay, so Jesus says, don't hinder the work of an outsider who seems to be friendly, but how about those people who aren't friendly and who are more outsiders? Our story continues. With the Samaritans, Jesus is committed to going to Jerusalem. He's up north, and you got to go through Samaria, kind of a big section. And even though it takes 3 days to walk, they're walking everywhere, right? To walk through Samaria, most Jews said, we're not going through Samaria. Yeah, I know it's going to take longer. We're going to go around. We don't like these Samaritans. But why not? Who are the Samaritans? Well, they're half Jews and half sort of Assyrian conquerors. And so the Jews didn't like them because they considered them half-breeds and religious apostates. They don't believe the same thing we do. Well, Jesus sends some of the 12, whatever, messengers ahead to make preparations for them, but they don't receive Jesus very well. So verse 54, this time it's James and John, the two brothers in action. Lord, we just saw you, and we didn't read these verses, but in that same chapter, they had just seen Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And he says, well, Jesus, you know, like Elijah, why don't we just call down fire on these folks and just burn them up? Why not? Well, Jesus rebukes them. Doesn't say what he tells them. But Jesus knows the mission's going to continue. I'm still going to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. Yes, there will be people that will accept that and believe that, but then there will be others who don't. And I know my mission right now is to not come as judge. That'll be my second coming. But right now, my mission, my purpose is to come as Savior. But you got to love John's, we'll be kind, enthusiasm. Right, he does have zeal for Jesus' honor. He takes the Samaritan's rejection pretty seriously. they're at least willing, he's willing to submit and say, well, Jesus, I'm not going to go out on my own. And he asks permission. And the kingdom needs people like this that are zealous like that. But of course, the downside, the flip side, the bad side is this. He was self-centered and a bit intolerant. He was strong and zealous for the truth, but he lacked love. I mean, talk about your cancel culture. These Samaritans, they don't like Jesus. Let's burn them up. Just get rid of them. That was his perspective. So that's John. He's a son of thunder. And we could look at other episodes, but I want to know, how did he get transformed into the apostle of love? 3 years with Jesus now, being with Jesus every day, seeing him teach, do miracles, correcting his theology and his practice. John is transformed. His thunder is transformed into tenderness. And we're going to look at three quick episodes or portraits of love in the Gospel of John. So that means this is John, the author, writing about himself. He goes, you want to know what happened to me? I'll give you some pictures. Let's rewind the tape. I'll show you. Here's the first one. It's the Last Supper. This is the first of five times John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the picture we get here is they're not all just sitting around a table, but they kind of are, they weren't even chairs, they're sort of reclining. And typically, you reclined on your left side so your right hand would be free to eat. So you kind of lean on the guy next to you. That's what it says. John, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table. And then they kind of have this discussion. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. Are you playing favorites? No. Jesus loves all the disciples. He loves all of us equally. And that's the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, his followers, a loving relationship. And John particularly felt that. Well, maybe then it's John's problem. He's sort of arrogant or boasting. Jesus loves me. I'm his favorite. I'm better than you. No, I don't think that's it. It's not so much about John, it's about Jesus. It's not arrogance on John's part. I think it's just amazement, like, oh, Jesus loves even me. And so the phrase he uses, it's not the disciple who did stuff for Jesus. No, it was that he received love from Jesus. It's not even the disciple who loves Jesus. It's not about John. It's the disciple whom Jesus loves. I'm challenged by that a little bit as I started thinking about this phrase. Is that the way you see it? How would you describe yourself? The disciple whom Jesus is disappointed in. You're the disciple who Jesus tolerates. You're the disciple whom Jesus is embarrassed about. No. We need to be a disciple whom Jesus loves. He loves us. Personally, sometimes that's hard for me to feel and to sense that wow, Jesus loves even me. But that's what it is. No matter what, no matter how self-centered or thunderous you are, Jesus loves you. So that's one reason John's an apostle of love. He definitely feels and senses and experiences and enjoys receiving the love that God gives him in Christ. He also demonstrates love. This next scene is the crucifixion. John is the only apostle at the cross. All the rest are hiding, they're fearful, but John is there. Now, he can't do anything to help Jesus, but he wants to be near Jesus. And sure enough, in Jesus' sorrow, he looks down from the cross and sees his mother. And he cares for her and wants to provide for her. So moms, if you ever wondered, does God care about mothers? Here's Jesus in his last day, in his last hours, in his last breath on earth, talks about his mother. So John takes the place now, kind of their mother and son. Scripture tells us that Jesus' brothers, Mary and Joseph, had other children, but they hadn't believed in Jesus yet. And Joseph, we're not told, but most commentators think, Joseph had already died. So you got Mary there and a few other women and John. Now, John, of course, had his own mother, Salome, to take care of too. So now he has two mothers to watch over. But he does it. Several witnesses in early church history say that John never left Jerusalem and cared for Mary as his mother until she died 11 years later. John demonstrated love. Maybe you know these verses. We even have it in a little song. 1 John 4:7-8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. So John talks about demonstrating love. And sure enough, he teaches love, right? You don't have to look very far in the writings of John for that idea of love shows up, right? He gave us the famous, "For God so loved the world," that's John. He reminds us of Christ's commandment to love one another. Here he records Jesus' words, "By this all people will know if you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He's got a whole theology of love, that God is a God of love, God loves the world, God loves his own son, Christ loves us, we should love Christ, we should love one another. Love fulfills all the law. He goes on and on about love. But not just love. Again, he balances it with truth. 25 times in the Gospel of John and 20 times in the Epistles of John, he talks about truth. So that, what's that? 45 times. 50 times, he talks about love. So it's a balance of love and truth. So if you would ask John, what makes a difference? He would say, it's love. It transformed him into a son of thunder, into the apostle of love. And so the punchline, of course, this morning is, if John can make it as a disciple, so could we. If Jesus could use John, then he can use us. If he can transform him into the apostle of love, he can do that for us as well. That love makes all the difference. As we conclude our service today, we're going to celebrate communion, and that's where I'd like to focus our attention, is on love.